for Senator Aiken, please.
Thank you.
Who?
Senator Aiken, sir.
Who?
You are.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah.
George didn't want to bother you except to say that I was sitting here talking to Henry after his trip to Paris and to tell you that we're just very grateful for you to put up this amendment. I mean, to have your to have your name on it and influence will mean a great deal. And I can assure you that for reasons you're quite aware, it's a very responsible thing to do. If it weren't, I wouldn't really ask.
Will there be any statement whatsoever?
No, I'll tell you.
Before this comes up.
Before this comes up, no. Let me just do this. Let me put Henry on for a minute.
Yeah, all right.
And he can give you the feel. The difficulty with the statement is that a statement would foul up what we're trying to do. But let Henry give you the. I think just for your own feeling that you can have talked to him. In other words, that isn't a bad thing. Mm. But understand, you naturally you keep things in confidence.
I'll do that. Simply,
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Home again?
Yeah. Here he is. Just a second.
Oh, I'll shoot him.
Hello, Senator?
Yes.
Nice to talk to you.
Yeah.
One problem we have is that the North Vietnamese are almost psychopathic about having anything of these talks get out.
Yes.
Because they feel that as long as we're talking seriously, it should be kept quiet until it's pretty well completed.
Yeah.
But we have, of course, complete confidence in you, and so I can forgive you some of the feel.
Yeah.
And I think this is the first time in all the talks that we've had that we are doing a really serious examination with an attitude of bridging differences.
Yeah.
And the reason we are so opposed to some of the other amendments other than yours is not that we disagree with every last word in them, but because any deviation now from the president's position is going to give them an excuse to delay the tough decisions, and it's going to make them ask themselves whether they wouldn't be better off waiting another month or two to see how that plays out.
Yeah.
So the great contribution of your amendment is that it shows a unity behind the president that helps them make the decisions. We can't say in good conscience they're going to make them, but it's the first time in our experience that they're talking seriously. Now, we would appreciate it if you didn't say it that way.
No.
Because we're saying that for your guidance.
That's what...
can't even say it's hopeful in that sense.
When they have asked me, I've said yes, the administration seems to be wholeheartedly behind it and seems to feel that the fate of the world depends on this. Rather crude language. But, colleagues understand that.
But we are not saying this to you lightly. And when we show you the record, when this is all over, whether it succeeds or fails, you will not look bad. Put it mildly, you won't look as if you'd been taken in.
I won't be sorry for it.
No, you won't be sorry. And with all the flashy stuff that's going around, what's going to help is something now that shows some solid consistency.
And how will this amendment help? Will it help by showing greater unity on our part, or what shall I do?
Exactly. It shows unity. It shows that to the North Vietnamese, how are they going to interpret deviations from it? They can only either mean that there's some lawyer-like language in there that in fact supports the president, but is supposed to confuse the public, so then they think there's a public crack.
I see.
Or it shows that there is a difference between the president and the Senate, in which case they want to wait a bit to see how that plays out.
Yeah. Well, we'll see, but I'm afraid our trouble's coming with the book substitute.
The trouble with the Brook substitute is it drops out the ceasefire.
No ceasefire call.
There's no ceasefire in the Brook substitute at all. It's therefore a major deviation from the president's position.
I see.
And therefore, if they were going to move in that direction, their temptation would be to hold out to wait for the Brook substitute.
And it shuts off funds, I believe.
And it shuts off funds.
And it provides that we can only defend ourselves when we're running for the boat.
Exactly.
And mustn't turn around and shoot at them face to face.
Now, the shut off of funds has two large disabilities. One, it shows that the Congress really doesn't trust the President's promise.
Yeah.
And says, in order to make him perform what he's promised to perform, will deprive him of the means to do otherwise.
I pointed that out on the floor about half an hour ago.
The second difficulty is, if we get this May 8th proposal or some variation of it, then we certainly don't want the war to start again on the 121st day.
Yeah.
Now, this amendment practically tells the North Vietnamese, be quiet for 4 months, and then on the fourth month and first day, when the Americans are without fund, clobber the bejesus out of the other guys.
Yeah.
So it really looks as if we're setting up the others for ourselves. If we leave it a little bit vague, we have a much better chance of getting an observance of the ceasefire.
Yeah.
But the President has given his promise, and that ought to be good enough.
And withdrawal of funds.
Right.
Well, Cranston finally said he would accept the President's promise, because I had to point out that he reminded the Senate that the President didn't keep his promise to do everything he could, but that he relies on his amendment on Hanoi keeping their promise.
Yeah.
And we had a little argument. He finally said that he would accept the President's promise.
Well, if he accepts the President's promise, then there's no sense in cutting off funds.
No, that's right. And that, of course, is the thing that is hardest to answer. Why, if we're going to get out completely, should we not cut off the funds? And we don't know when they'll have to go back.
Well, we don't want to deprive ourselves of the threat.
No.
Senator, you know as well as I do, after all the agony we've gone through,
I know.
President isn't going to rush back into Vietnam.
Next thing, they'd want to apply that to Panama or about 6 or 8 in the Senate. Maybe they'd want to apply it to Jordan.
Exactly.
And other parts of the world, it's such a pretty bad precedent.
Well, I can tell you, of course, I don't look at the domestic situation, but from where I sit on the foreign policy side, your amendment is the most statesmanlike act that I've seen in this connection.
Well, I can support it anyway. And the others, I can't.
Well, we are very grateful.
So, if there is anything encouraging, that could be public, but
the trouble is we just cannot do it, and we'd rather lose the vote than break off our promises to them.
Yeah, we can't make it look as if we're giving ground or going back.
Well, and also we don't want to give them the feeling that we're just talking to them so that we can deal with our domestic opponents.
Yeah, I see.
So that's why we are so particularly meticulous about not saying anything.
Yeah. Well, I'll do the best you can.
Thank you, Senator.
Okay.
All the best to you.
All right. Bye.